We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita Liliana Montenegro,
esa soy yo,
play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests joining us today. We got Yo Gotti and
Big
also
Gotti.
The producer, Young
Sending.
D. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Sending.
How's it feeling? How you feeling, Gotti?
I'm good, man.
You just went on a tour for your birthday, man.
Oh, yeah. I like traveling now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So do you enjoy
it now? You just said now? Just
one
now?
Of my thing. Yeah, you know, I ain't used to travel a lot because I don't really like planes like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like late to like going overseas and stuff like that because I didn't like to be on the planes for a long time.
So you was missing out on mad money then.
Yeah.
Just off shows and everything.
Yeah.
It's so every time we have Gotti up here, I just love the first interview of Gotti where we had Gotti for 30 minutes. He might have said 5 words and now Gotti has opened up. He's traveling. He's just a CEO. I just love to see the transformation of Gotti. So how's it been being CEO? Less music. I know you got a mixtape out now, but really
hard
developing your acts.
Hard.
Yeah, shout out to Young D, man. He executive produced that joint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how's it been developing those acts opposed to diving into the music as much as you were before?
I mean, I think I got the same passion for both. You know what I mean? I always had it from the beginning. I just knew, like, you know, it's a time for everything. I had to get to a certain point in the artistry point to, you know what I'm saying, to go to the executive. But I think it's the same satisfaction for me, you know what I'm saying, like seeing an artist win that I work with is like I get the same, like, validation of seeing myself. I think that's why I'm so like passionate about it. You know what I mean? And so into it, into the details of an artist I work with. It's just like if it was myself, I'm like selfless when it comes to that. You know what I mean? Like I see us as the same.
How do you know when it's time to take the executive jacket off and get back in the trenches as an artist? Like how did you know this was time to do I Showed You Show?
It's just energy. I go off energy. I'm still like a fan of music at the same time. So when I'm listening to music, I can hear when I feel like something is missing. You know what I mean? So, you know, if I feel like I can, you know, try to deliver it, I try it. You know what I'm saying? So, and I feel like to me, like this mixtape to me is like outside music. You know, I feel like a lot of the music like laid back in your feelings and get high music or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel like it's a... hustle music is kind of like missing, you know what I'm saying? What I do, what Jeezy do, what, you know what I'm saying? Like, in that era, I feel like ain't no, like, get money music.
Mm-hmm.
You feel
mm-hmm.
me?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, we need some get money music.
I can feel it with this one.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what made you go back to the elements of the mixtape? Because you could have did an album, you could have did an EP, but you decided to link up with Drama and do a Gangsta Grill version.
When I think about that whole Get Money era, that's where it took me back to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that whole era. I'm like, you make it fun. Like, it ain't that serious. Really, for me, at this point, like, I want to make, like it ain't number 10 songs on here. So this
28
like the,
minutes.
This like yeah. the shortest project I ever put out since mm-hmm. I've been doing music. So it ain't about, like, you know, putting a lot of tracks on other tracks. You know why? You know the tricks of the game and shit. But, it was just about making it like an art piece.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 10 songs, only the right 10 songs. Not nothing that's just filling me in. Like, if we felt like it went hard, don't put it on there. So if we felt like we had number 8 hard song, we'd only put 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You said on the project that you're not doing no more albums.
Yeah.
Just mixtapes from here on out because you don't care about the charts. You really feel that way?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Why? You don't got no, clearly you don't have no more album obligations then.
No. I'm 100% independent.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why not do an album? Is it too much pressure?
I think that's a mental thing too, mm-hmm. though. For me too. It's like, when I say I'm doing a mixtape, I don't know. It's just like, I be in a different mind state
mm-hmm.
when I say I'm doing an album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most time when I do a mixtape, I don't spend a lot of time on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I may do it in a week. You know what I'm saying? 10 days, 9 days, mm-hmm. something like that. You know, you may be working on your album for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
8 months, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, going back and forth. So I think it's kind of like, you know, when I came up in the mixtape era, mixtape was almost like practice.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, man, I'm going to do this before the album. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of like
the
warm
up.
Yeah, this is a warm up before the album. Mm-hmm. But they always be special.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's kind of like what I'm on.
You feel any pressure with, you know, with you so many artists, right? We just seen you. Gorilla's birthday, you bought her a Maybach truck, right?
Yeah.
So now, do you have any pressure with every artist's birthday? Because you got a lot of artists now. Yeah. You got producers now. Now, do you got that pressure with every time an artist come out, you got to say, you got to spend a bag?
Not really. You know what I mean? Because me and my artists got special,
mm-hmm.
you know, relationships and bonds, and we do so much for each other. You know, some of it is seen, some of it is not seen. So everybody know I rock with them 1,000.
What made you get Glorilla a Maybach truck? Was it, you know, the fact that she's been, you know, successful the last couple of months? She's been putting records on the charts. She's out of here.
Yeah, and I like to see it. I like to see it, like, you know what I'm saying? Glo bought her first car not too long ago. Like, you know, it's crazy. Like, the whole, like, probably a year run, she didn't even have a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not because she couldn't afford it. Of course she could buy a car, but she wasn't even, like, Glo. Mm-hmm. Really, she don't really be on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to buy that type of car because she probably wouldn't even bought it.
Gotcha.
Low stack of that paper.
The internet, you know what I'm saying? The internet say that's Glorilla money anyway. They say you just spending money out of her budget.
No, we don't have budgets. But it's more definitely my money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Yeah. So she's not gonna look at a statement later on and be like,
$200,000. And if you know, I'm the type of person that, like, we don't really have them type of issues. I'm the type mm-hmm. of person that, like, we just don't have them type of issues. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's too mm-hmm. much paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much paper floating around to have money issues.
Mm-hmm. Another time you put it on social media that I think it was $2 million for any lawyer that could help you get 4-2 out.
Yeah, short too.
Did anybody call? Did anybody reach out? What's the process? What's going on with 4-2?
Yeah, everybody reached out. You know what I'm saying? But they couldn't really do nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But Doug already, you know, we rock with who Doug Lawyer is. He good.
Mm-hmm.
He was good from the beginning, you know what I'm saying? Just if we thought we can get him home earlier, we would have busted a move.
Mm-hmm. You said he's short, so you coming home soon?
Yeah.
How soon we know?
Like 60 to 80 days or something like that.
Oh, word. Okay.
So before the end of the year.
And Young D did this whole project?
Yeah, well, most of it, he executive produced it. He produced most of the records, but he executive produced the whole project, meaning like, I work with him, like, you know, even if I got to be from another producer,
mm-hmm.
on, you know, the type of energy and tempos and stuff like that we was going at.
Was it a lot of pressure, D?
It wasn't a lot of pressure.
Okay.
I was just mixing my style with his style.
Where are you from, D?
Jackson, Tennessee.
From Tennessee.
Yep.
How y'all connect?
On what year that was?
2020.
Yeah, you know, we found him, he was 14 years old.
I was going to say, D look young.
Wow. Yeah, he's 17. He was 16 or 17 now.
17.
He's 17 now. When we met him, he was 14 on Instagram Live.
What you mean on Instagram Live? You was on live and he said I'm a producer.
And he sent us some beats. And it kind of rocked from there. Like, and he sent Bag some beats. Yep. And then me and Bag were talking about him. Like, you know, the young the number 14. And me and Bag actually collaborated and signed him together when he was 14.
What did your parents say when you have? Because most parents look at the rap game is nah, it's not gonna be. It's gonna take a long time, and you're not gonna be successful. So, what did your parents say when both these platinum artists at the time said, "I want to sign you"?
They was happy. They were leading it from the jump,
and they let you go.
They let me do me.
Really?
Yep, all the way through.
He used to travel with us, him and his dad, to pull up to the studio. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he that young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you had to have a conversation with the parents just to let them know what the plan is.
Yeah, you know, you had to, even when you're doing business at that young, the parents got to be involved and all that. But his dad was, you know, super supportive. We'd travel with him to the studio sessions and everything. When we would cook up, we had these CMG sessions, and he'd come to him where he'd cook up live in the studio. His dad would bring him down there.
Man, one record you got on the album, man, with Moneybagg, Yo, Mind My Business.
Yeah,
I swear, man, that's how you feel. That's how everybody feel when they come from a certain environment. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because you want to help,
yeah.
But sometimes you don't feel like your help is appreciated.
Yeah.
Then you don't really know what you can do. So sometimes you just like, man, I'm just going to mind my business.
Yeah.
Pouring you know, to my people.
It always been me.
Yeah.
It's always been me. I think that's like one of the things streets teach you in the beginning. Like, you know, like I call it the survival skills. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people survive longer just staying out of people's business.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, just man, just I don't hear nothing, I don't see nothing, I don't know nothing. Mm-hmm. I ain't even got no opinion on nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotta be there.
Just out of the loop.
But then when you somebody like yourself who is a figure, you know what I mean, and come from the street, you probably can change a lot of the next generation's lives or show them a better way.
I think we put in work to make changes where we can. It's still a lot of stuff we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of stuff we do. That we do think is effective to help, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But I think that's it's a line, right? It's a line where you can do that, and it's a line where, like, you know what I mean? It's almost like can be almost backfiring you, or you need to stay mind your business. You know what I'm saying? Like, so
I feel like Memphis, man. Memphis got everything to be that next hip hop hub. But for some reason, it still feel like it ain't there yet, which is strange to me. Because y'all got so much artists coming out of Memphis. What do you think the problem is?
I think it's the hip-hop hub. I think we created, and we always had our sound. I think people just got onto our sound late. You know, I think it finally get the respect from a record label standpoint, all the A&Rs and executives. Mm-hmm. You know, look for Memphis artists, man. So many people call me about different Memphis artists. You know what I'm saying? They be knowing some of them quicker than I do. That's how the microscope is on the city, you know what I'm saying? So I'm proud of that because I think it's a lot of opportunity for a lot of people that come out of there. I just think that, man, we just, like, Memphis just screech, like, you feel me? So even with the opportunity, you know, I think most people just be street dudes more than they be artists, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's more like, you know what I mean, it's more like I had to do this at one point. I think you have to just accept that, man, I'm an artist now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put that to the side.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? I think when more people do that, that's what probably, you know, you'll see the artistry turn into more of like really the industry artists. And then that probably be the answer.
On the album, you say you're still riding around with the pistol and the Rolls Royce, though.
I mean, you know. I mean, you know, we got to survive.
Yeah, point.
I was going to ask, with 50 years of hip-hop being this week, you know, what got you into hip-hop being a young hustler from Memphis? Like, what made you say, this is where I want to be? What made you fall in love with it?
I mean, I was just a fan of it from the gate since a kid. You know what I'm saying? I remember standing in front of the Flo Model TV, just looking at videos that was out, and I just always thought it was dope and fly. I just was, you know, a fan of hip hop from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Before I even knew that I would be in it, I was a fan of it.
And did you know that was gonna be your way out of what you were doing, or it was
I actually didn't know. You know what I'm saying? Even when I first started rapping, I didn't believe that it was possible to actually happen, because coming from where I'm from, we didn't know anybody famous. We didn't know like nobody that had made it, like from rapping, from being an NFL player, being an NBA player, a talk host. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We didn't know like anybody that made it. you know what I'm saying, other than, you know, the dope boys from my neighborhood who had fly cars and jewelry and the Fila outfits and, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, even when I was doing it, it was kind of like, it was just something to do. I didn't really think that, like, it can really, you know what I'm saying, turn into what it turned to.
And you made you, you think you could do it? Was it, who made you think, believe you could do it? Was it 3-6 or who was it?
Well, it started out being, started out being a dude that was named KC from my neighborhood. He was a rapper. He was the only rapper in our neighborhood. He used to rap, and we used to all just listen to him rap. And then he wrote my first rap for me. And I used to just recite the rap he wrote me until I started, like, putting my own words in it into the exact same pattern. You know what I'm saying? And so that was, like, the first person that made me, like, really want to be a rapper. Other than that, Skinny Pimp. I see Skinny Pimp riding through Memphis in the drop top 5.0. That was like the first artist I seen back in the day with the Mustang drop. You feel me? Because I didn't really see 3-6 that much, like physically see him. You know what I'm saying? And then when Project Pat came home, I started. Yeah, Project Pat came on. And he used to be like on the outside of town, so I used to see Project Pat.
Ball and G?
Then Ball and G. But I'm saying, like, I listened to Ball and G music and 3-6 music, but I'm saying, like, physically seeing it, because I'm the type of person that, like, if I don't see you, I don't really believe it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really like seeing this, like, you got to be able to see it to believe it's possible. You know what I'm saying? So Skinny Pimp, Project Pat is what I seen.
What made you stay the independent route? Because, you know, most, when people want to be a rapper, a lot of people's dreams is to sign to a major. They want to sign to a deal.
Well, I did all of it. I did all of it. You know what I'm saying? I was independent. I was signed. Back independent, signed. I mean, even right now, I'm doing all of it. You know what I'm saying? I got a, you know, my label ain't independent 100%. We're in a partnership, you know what I'm saying? But me as an artist is independent. So, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, I don't think it's no, I don't think it's like no big reward or no big thing to be independent. I think it's like you have to do like what makes sense for your business. You know, I think being independent for me at this level in the game makes sense for me today. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I ain't even... You know, I may drop a project whenever I feel like it, so I may not need the same resources that a new artist may need. So I think you got to align yourself with what you need for you to have the best shot to be the biggest artist in the world if that's what you want to be.
Now, you also said that, you know, you didn't see, you know, 8-Ball at MJG. You didn't see 3-6 Mafia. When did you realize and be like, you know what, I got to move where people don't see me because a lot of people don't want what's best for me?
It took me a while to understand that, you know what I'm saying? And I think as the older I got, I understood them more, you know what I'm saying? Because...
Ooh, explain that.
Yeah, you know, because like you just said, like, I didn't understand when I was young why I didn't see them. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I remember being in Memphis and they were telling me, like, oh, sis, and them stay in L.A. And I'm like, why would them niggas move to L.A.? You feel me? Like, I'm like, I'm a, you feel me? Like, I'm almost, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like... But now I get it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Right, right. Like, but I ain't, when I was young, I ain't really, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, I'm man enough to say that, like, you know, as I, you just change mindsets. You know what I'm saying? And you learn and you mature and you see things differently. You know what I'm saying? So, but when I was young, I most definitely was one of them, you feel me? Like, you know, probably like what the young guys is today. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? So I used to think like that and didn't understand some of the things.
I want to talk about your pockets a little bit. You're part owner of an MLS team.
A lot of money right there.
How did that come about? And did you ever have any, like, well, maybe I shouldn't invest in
DC
this.
DC United.
Yeah, you said I ever have a...
Because back then, this is before, I mean, it's a soccer team. Yeah. Did you ever think to yourself, maybe I shouldn't invest in this? What made you say, I'm going to put my money in this?
I never thought I shouldn't invest in it. It was more so like, can I invest more? You know what I'm saying? I knew it was the play. You know what I'm saying? For multiple reasons. Like, you know, I do my research for one. I got the right business team around me. So we do all the right, you know, fact checking and making sure that the business is in the right standpoint. So that alone, on paper, it was the right business move. But my passion for diversifying and growing and accomplishing different things as a hustler also was a big part of it. And then soccer was like the only sport my son ever played. So that's how I even know about
it. I was
going to
ask, like, you didn't seem like you played soccer as a kid.
No, I never even seen it. And I told them that when I was getting into the team, that I never even seen a soccer field when I was a kid. When I seen a soccer ball, I thought it was a flat football. We used to shoot basketball with a soccer ball. Mm-hmm. Just because it was a ball, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we just thought, like, man, why the ball flat?
Mm-hmm. Why it won't bounce?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So we had no exposure to soccer in the way I grew up. You know, so, but my son different. He went to different type of schools, right? So they had a soccer field in his school. Mm-hmm. And it's the sport he plays. So between going to practices and games, you know, I learned what the sport is. So when the opportunity presented itself, I was familiar with the sport.
Mm-hmm. And being in D.C. all the time, keep you in the White House. Let the record show, Gotti, they found cocaine in the White House. And, you know.
Oh, boy.
I don't think they found it before you started going
there. Nah, I'm not.
You were pitching to Biden? Was it pitching to Hunter?
Man, I don't know nothing about that.
I just messed with you.
So I said, you pitching to Hunter?
But you do get invited to the White House a lot.
Yeah, I went a couple times. Mm-hmm. I went a couple times.
What's that like?
I mean, you know, it's a surreal moment. Again, I was just telling one of my partners, like, just coming from where we come from. Mm-hmm. We ain't never expect to be at the White House, you know what I'm saying, period. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So to be actually walking through the White House, and you know, I think that's just, for me, I don't know what it is for other people, but that's an accomplishment within itself, you know what I mean? Because I feel like everything is like, you're an example of a coach, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? And I was like, pads knee deep in the streets, like, you feel me? So I think that, like, for the next young hustler, that's how I look at it. For the next young hustler, if you see me at the White House, and if you really do your research, you know where I come from, mm-hmm. you could be at the White House, and you could be doing more than what I was doing at the White House, because that's how I look at Jay and different people. You know what I'm saying? I look at them like, oh, you know what I'm saying? He's doing this, he's doing that. So they give me inspiration that I can do it. You know what I'm saying? So I hope that, you know, the other young hustlers see it as something like that.
How far removed do you feel like you are from the street?
All the way.
Because in the album, you say some things, you know, I let people find it on themselves, you know what I mean? But it feels like you still feel like you got some pressure on you.
Nah, I'm all the way removed.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm all the way removed from the street, 1,000%.
I would hope so. Yeah. 2,000%.
Yeah, 10,000%. You know what I mean? But I think streets is not like an action. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a way of thinking. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, I don't think there's a certain way of thinking would ever, like, leave my mindset, meaning like, and that's just from like a protection standpoint or common sense standpoint or street sense standpoint, meaning like just knowing how to move, right? Mm-hmm. So I can stay behind 3 security guard gates or whatever. Mm-hmm. I still pull up to the house the same way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I still look. If I pull up, if it's that's too right. dark, I may not go in the house.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean by street mentality. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Meaning like, it's a feel, you know what I mean? It's still to the day where I pull up to the house sometimes and I just look and I keep going. I just don't feel it's safe to go in tonight. I go to the hotel room. Mm-hmm. But that's a trait I got from in the street.
But do you still feel that way, though?
You know what I'm saying?
But do you still feel that way? Like, now to this day?
Yeah.
You ain't got cameras in the house? You can't look at your phone?
I got everything.
That's what I'm saying.
I got cameras. I got 24-hour guards. I got animals, you know what I'm saying? I got every form of protection you can have, you know what I'm saying? And I still move like that.
Damn, that's PTSD, bro.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is. Yeah. I was gonna ask with everything that's going on, and you look at your career and you look at your life, and I remember you putting out the record and you just threw a shot out there for Angela Simmons and to see it 360 and now that you're actually dating. What was that original conversation like? Was it a joke? Was it like
what you mean the original, like the first conversation?
Absolutely.
The very first time I ever said anything to her was after the song, and I just told her I was serious. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I seen her, and then it was like a joke, and I'm like, nah. Like, shit ain't funny. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Did she think it was serious, or she was like,
say no joke, you know what I'm saying?
Word up.
Yeah, that was the first thing I ever told her, mm-hmm. first time I ever seen her.
Did she take you serious when you told her that?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
On the album, you say, I ain't never lost a crush. I'm Mr. Follow-Up.
Yeah. I'm pretty consistent.
Is the record, is the one? Is that about her?
Yeah. It was inspired by her, for sure. You know what I'm saying? She was in the studio with me when I actually, like, you know, when I record, I come off the top on, right? Mm-hmm. So when I loaded the beat up and I was in the booth, like, she was in the studio. One of them in the studio, me, her, and somebody else. you know, that's what came out.
Wow.
How has it been to be so public? Because usually you have been very private about your private life, whether it's whoever you were dating or your family member. So how was it to have your life on Front Street? Has it been difficult?
I mean, I don't say it's difficult, but it's different. You know what I'm saying? It's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People judge you too much, or is it always?
I don't care about none of that, bro. Mm-hmm. Again, I come from where, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think these type of, like, judgments and opinion, like, none of that can really hurt me. I come from, like, the worst already.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, it's just different. It's just different. And I think the reason why I was never public, it wasn't because of an issue with the people or nothing. You know what I'm saying? More like a safety thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? More like, you don't really want nobody to know who your family is.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I think the difference is you already know who she is. You already know who I am. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You think you would get married?
I don't know.
You say she the one. You're like, you know what I mean?
She is. You know what I'm saying? So we gotta see.
It's about time, Gotti.
It is.
You that dude right now. You bossed up on a different level.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing like having that whole unit together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hopefully you married. You can give me some pointers and some information about that. You know what I'm saying?
I just got good at it.
Yeah.
I just got good at it.
Yeah.
After all these years.
You give me some... what word I'm looking for?
Some pointers.
Knowledge.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because, unfortunately, again, coming from where we come from, ain't a lot of our people ever done
that's
that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got nothing against it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, we still coming from where we come from and what we know. You know what I'm saying? So we know love. We know loyalty. You know what I'm saying? But that's the end goal.
I can say being married and actually doing right by my wife. You know how Color Purple, when Celie pointed at you and Celie said, ain't no good going to come to you until you do right by me.
Yeah.
When you do right by your wife,
absolutely,
your life just, man, you think you're doing it now. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Just everything elevates.
I respect that.
I agree.
Everything elevates.
Have you had a conversation with Run?
Kind of.
Because it still got to be awkward, though, but it's...
Kinda.
Does he put his arm around you and be like, look, young man.
I gotta sit down with him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. It's lined up though.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
That means it's about to get serious.
I respect him.
Yeah. The song No Fake Love, man. Do you feel like all love is fake for real?
Not all, but a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Most of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think we're in an opportunist world. So I feel like, you know, people love you for what you could do for them.
Mm-hmm.
And once you stop doing it or once you can't do it, you will see that soon.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a different relationship, a different type of relationship. Whether y'all hustling together, whether y'all just friends, you know, in a lot of situations, you know what I'm saying, people confuse love and opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think when you have an artist, right, because you've had so much success with different artists, if one of the artists don't take off, what's that conversation like?
We tried.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I tell all my artists this from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we can win together, we can lose together. Like, if I can go to the bank with you, I can lose with you too. I ain't tripping.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? As long as we both try our best to do what we thought we'd win. You know what I mean? And you win some, you lose some. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't tripping.
How do you know when it's time to move on, though, from an artist?
Most time I only move on if, like, we ain't, like,
seeing
on the same page. Yeah. It ain't really a monetary standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because we can figure out how to adjust the numbers to keep getting the artist shots.
Mm-hmm.
And it still makes sense. So we not, you know, you're not losing too much.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? As long as I feel like we still in it together and we still trying together, you know what I'm saying? That if we ain't on the same page, we just wasting each other's time.
Do you look at artists as ever being a little lazy because of the social media era? They got a lot of things that you didn't have, right? So I remember seeing you come up and the things that you had to do, whether it was going to every homecoming, all-star event, Super Bowl, where you would travel with all your cars to make it a movie. Like, I remember seeing that and seeing the grind.
I talk about this all the time with my partner and them. They're like, it's just a different era. Like, what we done to promote and what we done to get in position, I just don't think new artists today could even do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, I remember I used to go to New Orleans to holler at Birdman and them. We used to wait 10 hours just to talk to them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, imagine if you tell an artist, come meet you today, and it take you 10 hours to talk to them.
They're going to feel disrespect.
They're going to get on social media
and talk shit. Yeah.
Got of this, got of that.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They're going to feel disrespected. Like, man, I'm going to wait 30 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we would go to a video shoot and be there all day to be in a 2-second cameo.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We ain't have no trailer, no budget, styling budget. Again, man, invite an artist to the video and he ain't ready to shoot him when he pull up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He feel disrespect. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. it's just a different, like, you know what I mean? So, but I also think those are things that make people like me, like, stronger on a different level. Like, I can take more. I can, like, I'm not bothered easily.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not really, like, I ain't fazed by nothing. I already done it the hardest way you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've already been through the, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so, like, everything is, like, what's some serious to somebody is, like, it's a joke to me. I'm tripping off of it. Like, you mad at that?
You mad at it?
Like,
yeah,
you offended by that? Mm-hmm. Like,
What's Young D done that made you be like, come on, bro?
Young D ain't done nothing, bro. Young D, like...
You cool?
Yeah, Young D, like, just getting started, and he on to a great start. You know what I'm saying? He done, like, Doug record, Maybach with Future, a lot of Moneybag records at an early age. So I think he kind of ahead of his time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think he creating a sound that's probably going to be like this CMG sound for the next, you know, next wave.
You got your first 100 bands yet, D?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did it feel like a million?
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
That's what Gotti said on the first 100 bands. His first 100 bands felt like a million. So what did a million feel like then, Gotti?
Man, you know, it's crazy because it's like, I mean, y'all niggas got a lot of money, man. Y'all know how it's going. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you know, when you first get that first 100, that 100 in the hood, you're like a millionaire in the hood. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Then in Memphis, you know, you might be 1.5 and living with 100.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, that's how it feels. You know what I'm saying? When you get it the first time, it's a special feeling. And I think, you know, it's crazy that I think we all, from a culture, just wanted to be a millionaire at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Because that seemed like the end goal. Like, man, if I can become a millionaire, that was it, right? Until you get the million. Then you realize, like, oh, man.
I need more.
Yeah, like this ain't what I thought it was. Like, you feel me?
Yeah.
Like, I need a lot more of these. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, I just think it's different tempos you hit. Like, I think the 100 band, the first 100 bands is special.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And the street really too. I think it's also different. I don't know this, but I think if you got a $100,000 job, it may not feel the same as the $100,000 five, tens, and twenties.
Mm-hmm.
In your hand in the street, like what I'm referencing to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's what I think. You know what I mean? I never had a 6-figure job, you know, like they paid.
Because if you get like $100,000 a year at a job, that's really like 50, 60, depending
60,
where you live at.
Yeah. 65,000,
you never seeing
taxes,
all that money at once.
Minus taxes.
So that first 100 bands and 5, 10s and 20s, and it looked good, and you got it, you know, however you got it stacked up, whether it's in $10,000 stacks or $1,000 stacks. You know what I'm saying? You know,
I can't wait to feel it.
I used to earn my money, put the small bills over here, and you feel me? So
I can't wait to get $100,000.
Oh, man, you ain't got $100,000 time. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
What are you learning from Hov at this point in the game? Because on the album, you say you feel like you're right there with Hov.
Yeah, I said, what did I say?
You feel like you're right there with Hov.
I'm your rapper's favorite rapper, something like that. I'm damn near on J level.
Yeah, but not literally, you said.
Yeah, but then I make sure I tell you not literally, because that's a different level.
That's a billion conversation.
Yeah, but, you know, I say that in a, what I'm learning for J now is I think it's about, and it's my opinion, I think everything with J Rock Nation is about impact at this point. You know what I mean? I feel like, of course, they are all the money in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I think for me, too, it's like, trying to see how much impact can you give. You know what I'm saying? Whether this happened to Young D or this happened to another artist or whether this creating jobs in the city or whether this just, you know, helping somebody with information. You know, I do a lot of that. They'll probably never be public. You know what I mean? It's so many artists that's not signed to me that I get nothing off of that I talk to every week. Different artists that I just, you know, get information to, give advice to, help them with different situations. you know what I'm saying, or try to help them go to the next level that I have no financial interest in. Just impact. I think everything is information. I take in a lot of information, but I also give that information back out. You know what I mean? So I think I'm just at a point where I'm trying to figure out how much impact I can, how many things I can touch, how much impact I can leave in the legacy.
I can't think of no artist who's got a better roster of artists right now. I can't think of it. Mm-mm. You know, we've seen different people have different rosters at certain times. I'm talking about right now? This moment.
Yeah,
I can't think of nobody who got CMG.
Mm-mm. Yeah. We blessed.
Is it true? They always say that in Memphis, if it ain't CMG, if you're not with CMG, it's not gonna work for you.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
There's a lot of artists that's not CMG from Memphis that work, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we like them too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a lot of young cats right now that's mm-hmm. killing it. You know what I'm saying? Who I think they're killing it on the street already, who I think they're gonna be the next wave, and they signed the different people, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you give them information? Do you give like that those other labels?
Anybody, bro. Anybody who hit me, like I'm an open book. I'm an open book, you know what I'm saying? Like I ain't hard to reach, so anybody could get information from me.
Do you want new artists? Do you want more people?
The right ones.
All
right. The right ones. We got a lot going on right now. So
you got a bunch of artists.
So we can't afford to be like, if you ain't really like serious, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you ain't serious about hustling, we ain't trying to get no quick check or no just.
Mm-hmm. You remember all your artists? You remember all the artists you got signed? Glorilla, Moneybagg Yo, ESTG, 42 Doug, Black Gangsta. What all the artists you have? Anybody we forgetting?
Big Boogie.
Mm-hmm.
Layla.
Jesus Christ, I forgot Big Boogie was signing.
Yeah, Pop Off. Big Boogie popping off.
Mm-hmm. What's up with Youngster, man? What are you up to?
I just was on the phone with Youngster a minute ago. He good. Mm-hmm. Youngster a businessman, bro. He actually work on a lot of other stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? A lot of real estate stuff, a lot of different hustles. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well,
Lil Papa, we got Lil Papa.
Lil Papa.
From Jacksonville, Florida. We work with Mozzie.
Mozzie, of course.
Mozzie from the West Coast.
Oh, y'all, I ain't know Mozzie with CMG.
Yeah.
I ain't know that.
We rock with Mozzie. Mm-hmm. Man, it's a lot of feeling.
You need somebody from the Carolinas, man. You need somebody from South Carolina.
Well, you know, we looking.
Oh, you got, okay.
We looking.
Who?
We looking, I can't say that. They might grab me.
They might grab
them before us.
Tell me off here.
But we want to work with somebody from Carolina, New York. Mm-hmm. We gonna work with somebody from New York, Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
Them certain markets we always wanted to like find the right artist in.
Cause you know the South Carolina guy always had big love for you. You know what I mean?
South Carolina like a big part of our like our success for real. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like if you took the Carolinas out of the picture, man, you'd take a lot of hot paper. What are you talking about? Show money? We talking about record sales, streams? Mm-hmm. A lot of it comes from the Carolinas.
Because Arnold Taylor was a big part of your success early on.
It's my dog for sure.
All right. Well, the album, well, I said the Gangsta Grills mixtape, I showed you so. You can pick it up now. Young D, we appreciate you for joining us.
Appreciate y'all for having me, too.
And of course, Yo Gotti! Thank you, brother.
For sure.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buena, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
Esa soy yo.
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if Chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.